The Nisqually Tribe shellfish program's largest fishery is the geoduck. The geoduck received its name from the Nisqually people. The harvesting of the geoduck is done by tribal members employed by the Nisqually Aquatic Technologies, also known as NAT. NAT offers an opportunity for younger generations of the Nisqually tribe to continue this new tradition. The biologist for the shellfish program, Chris Phelps, works to maintain the co-management as well as protecting treaty rights for the tribe.
A geoduck is the largest burrowing clam that you will find in the Pacific Rim. They range from Alaska down to Baja. They can live well over 175 years old. They are long lived geoduck are. They outgrow their shell. They cannot retract like a normal clam. So when you pull them out of the ground, sometimes they can be 4 feet down in the substrate. When you pull them out, there will be meat exposed. The shell cannot close all of the way. You can count how old a geoduck is by the rings in its shell. They're broadcast spawners, and that means that the larvae are at the whim of currents. The South Sound houses more geoduck than would other areas of the Sound. They are a delicacy overseas in Asian countries.
The Shellfish Program works as a co-manager with the State Departments of Natural Resources and Fish and Wildlife, as well as Department of Health and Ecology. Co-manage means the natural resource is split 50-50 between the state and the tribe. This map shows the Nisqually tribe exclusive fishing area. This is the area that the state manages specifically with the tribe. There's also a shared area that is co-managed between the state and all Medicine Creek tribes, which are Squaxin Island, Puyallup, and Nisqually.
This program specifically be involved in doing surveys of geoduck tracts, which are underwater. When you do these surveys, you're literally counting geoduck. You use statistics to extrapolate out what numbers are under the water. There is an annual harvest percentage of 2.7% that is taken of the total amount in the ground. And of that 2.7%, 50% goes to the tribes and 50% goes to the state.
Hello, my name is Jeff Choke, Nisqually Tribe member. I am the marketing director here at Nisqually Aquatic Technologies. What we do here, we do a lot of underwater salvaging as working employees for the tribe. The divers that we do have are certified scuba and surfer supply. They go out and they train harvest divers down here in Nisqually. We have better than 11 tracks. And so in those tracks, we're allotted about 280,000 pounds. And within those pounds, they're split up amongst divers. And they're, at this time, I believe we have about 78 certified surface supply commercial divers that can go out and do this.
Traditionally, geoduck is harvested in the muddy part of the shore called a mudflat.
Harvesting, it depends on a lot of the tracks. When you first go out there to dig a duck, you're down there and you're looking and looking. You could walk right by and you wouldn't even know because it was cold out. It was kind of winter. And at that time, ducks, they feed on algae and everything. And so there's no algae. So they'll kick down into the sand about a half a foot and you have to put a pounder down there. Hit that thing. Take your wand and hit it down on the ground. It'll shock the geoduck. And then next thing you know, they'll send their siphon up and they'll sit there for a minute. It's like there's something out there they could probably feed on. And so when they do, there's like two little eyeballs, little shotgun shells, little Looney Tunes shotgun shells like this looking at you. You're like, ooh, that's what it is. And so you hold on to it with your left hand. You take the wand and you move the wand and you make the wand like into a little gun. And you siphon, you hold on to it. And the gun will go down and it liquefies the ground around it. And you pull the duck up. And usually, the size of your arm is about the size of the hole that you're putting in the ground. Geoducks, they don't have what they call a foot. In clams, there's a foot on the bottom, a little pickle foot. That'll push it through the water. Well, geoducks are a little lazy to do that. But geoducks love the best sand. Once you find the best sand, that's considered the best duck.
The training is a rigorous 3 to 4 week course for the tribal harvesters. They go through bookwork and classwork for 2 days, then scuba training, and then surface supplied air training. Harvesters are trained to be comfortable underwater with heavy gear and equipment.
My name is Hawikwood Ihan from McLeod, and I've been an employee here in the Nisqually Aquatic Technologies for about 3 years. I think a lot of it has to do with the individual itself, if you're able to overcome that claustrophobic feeling. Because when you're out there digging a geoduck, then it's up upon yourself to be able to run that jet pump, because you're jetting them out of the sand. So it's a 90-degree angle stinger coming off a water pump. that is pumping probably 50 PSI. Mm-hmm. And so all that falls upon the individual, if he's capable or if she's capable, to be able to hold that, be able to hold their weight, be able to drag around a netted bag that you put your GUI ducks in. Of course, could range from 150 to 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it's physical and a lot of it's mental.
Not all of us are made for water.
When I think of diving, I think of fishing. Our people have been a part of the water all our lives, for generations and generations. And fishing was one of our main resources, one of our main cultures. And when you look back and you think about our people, especially in the Squalies being from this area, the water comes from Mount Rainier and it flows all the way down the river. And that fresh water feeds the Puget Sound. I come from Janet McLeod and Don McLeod, seeing my grandparents. My mom is Joyce Wells McLeod here from the Squalies, and my dad is Don McLeod Jr. They had been fighting for these fishing rights back in the 60s. It's not a traditional thing to be out there diving in with a surface applied air and digging up the clam, but it is a tradition to dig up the clam in general. And that's what our people did. Low tides during the wintertime were the best time to get down there, and you can actually get down and dig this clam up. The GUI duck means dig deep, and that's what our people did. They had to dig deep to get these GUI duck. And so diving, it takes over the fishing when you look at our fishing and our resources. The fishing is not dead, but it's dying out. And then now that's where the diving comes in. We're still on the water. We're still in the water. Now we're just underneath the water.
This NET was a tough sell to get this thing going. These guys weren't backed. I don't know if it was the fact that maybe some of our elders thought we were giving up our fishing to go into clam harvesting. Maybe they thought it was a tradition. That's what we did traditionally, is harvest salmon. Now what are you guys doing harvesting clams? That's not what we do. They worked one-handed with one hand tied behind their back for at least 2 years, where people were trying to get rid of this program and they just kept fighting, sticking it out. And they're already there today. They're getting jobs, more jobs every month. I think that this could be a new way of life for the younger guys coming up. Because culturally, how does it affect our community? It only affects a handful, to tell you the truth. The ones that are willing to get out there and learn how to harvest. You gotta respect it. You can't take more than you need. You gotta always make sure that there's gonna be enough there for the next generation after that.
That's what I tell some of these guys around here about that. Lushai fought for our right. Then the fishing rights were fought for our rights here in this water. So now it's the diving industry that we're gonna fight for. As far as it being a traditional food, I think it's just the spirit of our people, given that some of the elders around here, some clams, you know, some subsistence that we call it, broken clams that we can't sell. I've ate it raw, but it's sauteed, we didn't clam chowder, and it all tastes the same, but it's really five times as good as a razor clam. When you taste the razor clam, and you eat a GUI duck, you'd be hooked. The GUI duck, I think that's why it's so sought after. That's why all of our clams go overseas. 75% of them go overseas.
That's why one day these guys are hoping to cut out that middleman, get back over to Asia and start talking to the people over there that buy it. We'll learn how to ship it here. We'll pack it here. We'll take it down to Olympia Airport. We'll ship it off and it'll be there overnight.
By shipping the GUI duck from the Nisqually Reservation, the harvesting divers could receive at least four times more income per pound. With the increased income and limited number of certified divers in Washington State, GUI duck harvesting could be a successful career opportunity for Nisqually tribal members. NAT, working with the Shellfish Program, will guarantee the sustainability of GUI duck populations for future generations, turning harvesting diving into a new tradition.